This daf in Masechet Shviit, Yerushalmi, is daf nun tet. We're still only on daf nun chesom beis. We were talking about the various halachas, in which we mentioned the three different shitas, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, legabe the dinim of the tam, of something that's chayiv and biur that was pickled, together with something that was not chayiv and biur, and how it implies here, binogea the leaves, and the lulavim of the issues that we spoke about in the Mishnah. Now, at the end of the Mishnah, we learned that the ketav, which is basically, that's the resin from the atzei ketav that we most learn that way anyway, we're talking about a balsam tree, that has kedusha shviyas, and Rabbi Shimon argues and says, no, ain leketav shviyas because ain opri. It's not considered to be an actual fruit. Now, the ketav is basically a resin. It drips out of the tree. And what it seems to be is a very simple question. Do we say that resins are considered to be the equivalent of a fruit of a tree? Or do we say a fruit is a fruit? And a resin is basically just part of the actual wood of the tree. The Torah was never mechayev the wood of the tree, as if it were, even if it's edible. I mean, we don't find that the wood per se is considered to be a pre that is aser and shviyas. Okay, that seems to be the machlokas. Now, says Rabbi Pedas, well, you know, I want you to know that Rabbi Yosef quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that basically Rabbi Shimon Shita here about ketaf not being kodesh, kedusha shviyas, because it's not called a pre, has very serious implications for orla. Because, I mean, the question would be, if it's within the first 3 years, then the ketaf would also be also in terms of orla, right? Well, it turns out that in Maseches Orla, we actually have a machlokas about that, because one of the most popular usages of resins is for cheese making. So it says over there that there's a big machlokas in the Mishnah and Orla between Rabbi Eliezer and between Rabbi Yehoshua. And what's it talking about over there? The Tanina and the Tamad. So over there, in Maseches Orla, what does it say? That Rabbi Eliezer, Aymeren, that if somebody uses the sraf of an eitz Orla, if he doesn't matter what type of sraf it is, we'll see what that means in a moment, because Rabbi Shua argues. So if he uses this to be ma'amid, the chalav, meaning he turns it into cheese, he curdles the milk with it, so then that cheese is osir, because the ma'amid was Orla, was osir for you, and therefore you can't use it. Omer, Rabbi Yeshua, I have a Kabbalah. My Kabbalah is Shamati. I'm not telling you this on my own. And that's very important to remember, because later on the Gemara is going to use it. I have a Kabbalah that using a sraf depends. If you use the sraf of Alim, or you use the sraf of the Ikarim, so let's say you actually take out resin from the leaves that have sometimes a sticky resinous cover, or you take it out of the actual wood, you take it out from the ikar of the tree, the trunk of the tree, and then you use it to curdle the milk. So then the cheese is kosher, and it would be mutter. That's what I was makaba. If you utilize the resin that comes out of the pagim, which are the actual figs, then it's usser, because that's considered to be a pre. Now, that is a very opaque statement, because it's not clear whether he's saying the resin of a fruit is considered to be a fruit, or he's saying that the resin is there considered to be part of the pag, and therefore it's part of the fig itself, but not that the resin is a fruit. That's very unclear. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what exactly did he mean? Fine. But in any event, it seems that what Rabbi Yochanan points out is that it's the same sheet, that if you hold, like Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says that the sraf is not considered to be a sraf unless it comes from the pri. That's exactly what it says over here. Because the sraf of the atzei haketaf comes from the trunk of the tree. It doesn't come from a fruit. And therefore, it would be exactly the same halacha. See that they both hold that it's considered to be mutter. It should not be chayev in kedusha shviyas either. Makes a lot of sense. I'm a Rebbe Zira. I'm a Rebbe Zira. I'm a Rebbe Pedat. So You want me to prove to you that that's ridiculous? I mean, you're saying something that doesn't make sense according to you. Because if that's what you're saying, that you believe that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua are essentially saying the same thing, so then, k'modetei tamana left Rabbi Yeshua, you yourself said that, I mean, you said the name of your father, but the bottom line is, I mean, you said it, and it's mashma, that you weren't arguing on it, you said that the halacha is k'Rabbi Yeshua. So then that means that you have to hold that over here, the halacha is k'Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua say the same thing, right? The problem is that that's not the case, because essentially we have over here a machlokas between a stam Mishnah, doesn't say Reb Eliezer Omer in our Mishnah. It just says that's the halacha, as if that's stam the halacha, and then Rabbi Shimon comes along and argues. So that means that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was sosim like Reb Eliezer. So then you have a contradiction in your own pshat. You can't, how can you have two people saying the same thing, and in one case the halacha is like one, in one case the halacha is like the other? So obviously, even though it sounds the same, it somehow is different. Now, I don't know how it could be as different. You're really right. Logically, a resin is a resin is a resin, right? But apparently that's not so pashut. Well, Rabbi Yonah, well, of course it's not so pashut. But, you know, I love you amateur botanists who don't know, you know, the top of the leaf from the bottom of a leaf. I mean, what's the matter with you? Medani, he called Rav. I mean, what exactly what you think? You think that everything that grows, everything that grows is the same. Oh, it's a plant, is it? Well, I know all about plants. Great. So anyway, that's the gears that we have. It's a very strange language, kol rava, anything that grows. There's nowhere else where we use that word. So because of that, the grub changes it. And he says it's supposed to be actually vidamya hi kol davar. So he says it was a mistake. Okay, but it's very cute to say kol rava. So you think that all plants are the same, and now you've solved it, right? Obviously, it's totally different. And when you're talking about balsam, right? So over there, what is the balsam tree used for? And what is it planted for? Its entire usage is for its sap. So over there, the kataf is boto agabis rafo. That's the main point of this tree, and that's why it's cultivated. You know, that would be like saying maple sugar is just an accidental resin. The fact that you have all of these, you know, millions of trees that are cultivated in order to get the sugar out of it, yeah, that's irrelevant. So obviously over there, that's considered to be, according to the Tanakhama, it's considered to be here shvius. Mashenken, what are you talking about? An orange tree? So you happen to get some dripping resin out of an orange tree? So therefore you're going to say, well, this is a primary product of orange trees? I mean, that's absurd. Ilan, ain't a bottle of gabis rafon? Yeah, you might have some leakage sometimes that you see on the outside of a tree, but you're certainly not going to call this a tree for its sap. So it's completely different. We were talking about two different things. I mean, over here, the Mishnah specified we're talking about kataf, and that's talking about balsam. So, of course, it's going to be different. And there's another thing that's different also. You know what? I mean, basically, what I just told you is absolutely true. There's no comparison between an atzei kataf and a different eitz, all right? But, I mean, it's not for nothing that it's called atzei kataf. But even if it weren't that, even if both cases were talking about the same tree, there's still no comparison between the two. Because you do not have any right to think that a halacha that said v'gabi shmita is a halacha that said v'gabi arla. Why not? Because shvi'is is much more chum, right? So it is chal even on foods that a human being can't eat, but it's still chal and ochre da'ima. And it's going to have Kedusha Shvias, but Orla does not apply to anything that is not a pre-eitz for humans. V'aralteim Orla toit pirio. It's only the pirio, which is your aralteim. There's not no gea b'chlal, the behema. And therefore, it's true that Rabbi Yoshua says that l'gabei Orla, it's not considered to be, this is what Rabbi Yoshua Shita is, not considered to be a pre. So does that mean that when it comes to Shvius, that it doesn't even have the chashivas of Michael Behema? That's not necessarily true, as you can easily see. Amar Rabbi Yovin, you're forgetting another very important thing. I mean, I don't have another explanation. I think Rabbi Yonah's explanation is excellent. There's two very important differences. One in the type of tree between the two Mishnayos, and one in the type of Yisro or Lo Yisro Shvius. But there's a strong indication that that's the case. I don't know what you have to look for that you're trying to find in the Brisa, whether it's the same, whether you should have paskin the same way. It's obviously different. It cannot be that it's basically the same. Because look, when we read over there the Mishnah, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? Rabbi Yeshua said, I have a Kabbalah, Shamati, right? Now, if Rabbi Shimon was actually going along the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, you think he would have just said his opinion? And I think he would have said, we have a Kabbalah. Because you're claiming that he's using essentially that Kabbalah to tell me what the din would be in our Mishnah also the Gabi Shvias. But he doesn't say that. He just talks as if this is my Svara. I mean, so obviously it isn't based on the Kabbalah of Rabbi Shimon because he would have said so. So as to what the reason is, okay, yeah, the reason is what you just said, Rabbi Yaina. But we didn't have to look around for the contradiction in Psak to note that he's obviously not saying the same thing as Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, so what do we say over there? The one thing that we left sort of hanging is what do we mean when we talk about the resin of a fruit, that that's considered to be a fruit, and therefore it's going to make the cheese usher if you used it as the ma'amid of a cheese. You used a immature fig that was dripping some of the resin through it of the tree, apparently. I don't know exactly how you get a sap out of an immature fig, which is usually quite dry, but okay, I guess that's the way it is. But what did he mean? So, ma sraf peri. I'm not sure what did he mean. Does it mean that he's saying that it's considered to be a itself? This is a different type of sraf. It's a sraf which is a pri. What does he mean? Since this comes from pagin, and pagin is peri, so this is a dovra yotzei min ha'aser. And therefore, it's not because it itself is considered to be orla as a food. It's just that using anything that comes from a davar aser as a maimid is considered to be a davar aser. So what did he mean? And there's a big nafkamina. I'm not talking just theory over here. Because look, if you're going to tell me that it has a din of a pri, even on its own, so then the din would be, that's obviously a mistake over here, the din would be, that if it itself is considered to be a pri, then if you used truma, forget about the question of orla. You have a nice mature tree, and you made these particular figs, you made them into truma, and then you make some cheese, and you, before giving it to the kohen, you make some cheese out of the resin or the sap that's coming out of the tree. So if that has a din of its own being a pri, so then you, if you're not a Kohen, oh boy, Barnea is always on top of this. And cheese goes to Barnea. So it's like the story of that poor woman that Kairach was quoting, you know, even the cheese goes to Barnea. So then in that case, the Truma would be also Lazarim. But if you're going to tell me, no, the Pagim themselves, they're the Peri, and that means since Truma is not Osir Bahano, so then I'm not actually using the fruit itself. I'm just being nene from a fruit of truma, and therefore, you're right, it's a dovra yotzei min ha'aser. Okay, what's the iser achila? I'm not eating it. I just use it as a chemical to make my cheese. So then I would be allowed to eat the cheese. In which case, also came betruma, so then it would be mutter we have to change it to. So then that would be a tremendous nafkamina. And why do I say that? Why is there a difference between Orla and Truma? Very simple. Because Hanayat Truma is mutter to Azar, but Hanayat Orla is Osir. So in other words, even if the Sraf is not considered to be a pre, you're going to be nene from the actual fruit. So for Truma, that's okay. But for Orla, that's not okay. So we're going to have a big nafkamina. Okay, and we leave that as we usually do without any indication, the Yerushalmi, we don't have an answer to that. That's my question. Nice question. Now move on. Okay. So then we had this very strange din in the Mishnah, in which we said that if you have a veret chadash, so we've got a new rose, meaning it grew in Shvius, and it's chayav in biur, and you put it into shemen yashan, to old oil, meaning that you had shemen from the Shnat HaShishit or from years before, whatever. You got this olive oil. And then if you take the veret, take the rose out of the mixture, then the shemen is okay. You can eat the rose, obviously, before beer. But the opposite, if you've got a veret yashan and you put it into shemen chadash, so then it is chayav and beer. That is a little bit strange. I was just saying, you take a new, meaning a shnat shviit rose, and you put it into old, meaning shnat shishit oil, then it does not have anything to beer. Apparently, it doesn't absorb anything. But if you take a shishis rose, which is old, and you put it in shemitah oil, then you have to get rid of the rose, because now the rose is chayiv in the same biur as the shemen. So in other words, we're saying that the rose is considered to be mixed with the taste of the oil. I mean, if we're assuming that there should be no difference between the case of the taste of the oil in the rose and the taste of the rose in the oil. So then, and get to, what's the difference between? So in the Reisha, you say that all you have to do is take out the Shvius rose out of the Shishis Shemen, and everything is fine. And then in the same Mishnah, you say, that it's Chayav Bebiur because it absorbed the new oil, which is Shvius oil, and which is Chayav and Biur. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, shouldn't it be like a two-way exchange that if some flavor of one thing gets into the other thing, then there's an exchange? I mean, it's not a one-way direction. It's osmosis. So why would it work only in one direction? It doesn't make sense. Says Rabbi Abba B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, man, are you right? This so much doesn't make sense that we have no choice but to say Tavra. Mishishana, the Bavli's Loshan in these kind of cases is Tavra. Mishishana zu, Loshana zu. We're talking about two separate Tanoim, and there's no way that we can make this Mishnah work out according to the same Tana. The Yerushalmi doesn't have that Loshan of Tavra. So it just points out that Rabbi Avuh B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan says there's nothing to do but to admit that train Tanyanina. You know, there's got to be two separate Tanoim. One of them said the Reisha, one of them said the Seifa, and like, there's no way to really answer this. Omer Rebbe Zera, I can answer it very simply. I think that you don't understand what is meant by new and old. That's all. You're assuming that new and old translates directly into new being Shvius and old being Shishis. Okay, so therefore you obviously have a contradiction. But what if we say that new and old means exactly what it says, new and old? So then the part of the Mishnah that's talking about the new and old in the last case, here's the way I understand it. We're talking about two different cases. When the Mishnah was referring to a new rose that was soaked in old shemen, fine, there I agree. It's the case that you said. It means a new Shemitah rose that you put into an old, meaning from last year's crop of olives. You made olive oil. That's true. But the other case, so over there, you know, Chinami, you just take out the vered, and there's no din of an iser of beer on the oil. But when it says an old rose put into new shemen, that's not the same case. The old rose is referring to somebody who is now in the eighth year. So the old rose is the Shvius rose. And the new oil is the poshvius oil, which is mutter. So that's the point. It's in no way a contradiction, you see. So the yashan b'chadash simply means that a seventh year veret, which is chayav and biur, because it's shvius, that you put into new oil b'shemesh hashminis. It's the same rose, but it's a different oil. So over here, it's brand new oil. Over there, we're saying that actually, yes, it is chayav and biur. And in that case, it explains really the way that the Rambam explains the nafkamina in the two cases, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, ends up working out very well, in which he says that there's a difference between the relative ability, she explains, that there's a difference between old oils absorbing and new oils absorbing. So he says that, listen, old oil, it takes a very long time for any kind of smell to be absorbed in it. When the oil is still just newly pressed, at that point, it is very sensitive to any smells that it might absorb. Apparently, this is actually why they, in processing, why you have to be careful. I don't know what the, you know, chemical basis of it is, but you do have to be nervous about your oil, and you often buy cheap oils that actually, they smell like they have, you know, other things in them. So because of that, he also says that if you take a look at an old rose, it's very smelly, you know. So, and that's true. You know, once the rose matures and so on, and it starts withering, at that point, it gets really overwhelmingly pungent. And he says, so that's basically the naphthalene. You know, is if this is last year's rose, then it's going to be absorbed in a different way than if it's this year's rose. And that explains the two things, which has nothing to do with the question of whether is there shared responsibility in an osmosis situation. Hadron alach klal gadol, but don't think that it's disappearing so quickly, because the next parak begins, klal gadol. Okay, but we'll wait for that. Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Thank you so much for being there and giving me this chus, being with you, learning with you, with such shana, and looking forward to also being able to celebrate with you not only the Torah that we're learning and the siyum that we're making on the perek, but the Yad Hashem, which was Hayah le'oyvei Yisrael, and ended up being Mekarev levoves Yisrael in such a way that we were zeichet to a geula shlema. See you then tomorrow, Mezrat Hashem. Kol tov everyone. Mashiach Amecha u'Varechas Nachamasecha, Re'im v'Naseim Adam.